2 Samuel chapter 10. After this, the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his place. David said, I will show kindness to Hanun the son of Nahash, like his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by his servants to comfort him concerning his father. David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. But the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, Do you think that David really honors your father, in that he sent comforters to you? Hasn't David rather sent his servants to you to spy out the city, so that he can overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half their beards, cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly ashamed. The king said, Wait at Jericho until your beards have grown, and then return. When the children of Ammon saw that they were become odious to David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth-Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king of Maacah with 12,000 men. When David heard it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. The children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array at the entrance of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. So, it's a bit similar, really, I think, to what he does when his messengers come to Nabal and they get rejected and David gets furious. Well, he's not quite learned that lesson, because now his messengers get badly treated and he gets mad again. But this time, the people who he's got mad with suddenly get a whole load of tens of thousands of soldiers from other areas to come and support them in fighting against David. So this is what happens from a lack of self-control and from when you don't learn the lessons of your past failures. God brings things in our lives that repeat. And he should have learnt that really was wrong in getting so mad, wanting to kill Nabal and all Nabal's family because his messengers had been badly treated. And it was only the wisdom and the grace of Abigail which actually changed the outcome there. But now he's again failed. So he's got this huge load of soldiers from the enemy who are coming against him. And he sends Joab against them. When Joab saw the battle was set against him in front and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. The rest of the people he gave to the hand of Abishai his brother, and he put them in array against the Ammonites. He said, If the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall help me, but if the children of Ammon are too strong for you, then I'll come and help you. Be courageous, let us be strong for our people and for the cities of our God, and may Yahweh do that which seems good to him. There's a lot of times in the Bible where you read something that is sort of open to interpretation, and it's intentional so that we think what that could mean. So when Joab says, well, may Yahweh do that which seems good to him, it could mean that he's sort of saying, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, just let God do whatever he wants, that's how it is. In other words, it's a sort of fatalism rather than real faith. Or you could read it more positively, that he's doing this in great faith, that God is going to be with him. Joab went wrong in the very end of his life, and I think that really he may therefore here, I think, be more talking about sort of fatalism. Well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but that's sort of going to be the problem. So, Joab and the people with him drew near to the battle against the Syrians, and they fled from him. When the children of Ammon saw the Syrians had fled, they likewise fled before Abishai and entered into the city. And Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they were defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river, and they came to Helam with Shobak, the captain of the army of Hadadezer, at their head. It was told David, and he gathered all Israel together, and passed over the Jordan River, and came to Helam. The Syrians set themselves in array against David, and fought with him, and the Syrians fled before Israel. And David killed of the Syrians 700 charioteers, and 40,000 horsemen, and struck Shobak, the captain of their army, so that he died there. They had 40,000 horsemen and 700 chariots. Well, the law of Moses had forbidden the king of Israel to have horses and chariots, and so it must have seemed, first of all, when they saw these chariots at 700, there's no way we can fight them. We haven't got horses and chariots. Oh, we shouldn't have just been obedient to God, this silly thing about not having horses and chariots. But God still gave them the victory. And this was the point. That even though these people had technology and stuff that seemed absolutely impossible to fight against, God still gave his people the victory. When all the kings who were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were defeated before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. So then, of course, the hosts of God, the chariots of God, are his angels. The cherubim are his chariots, and his armies are armies of angels. And so David had faith to believe this, and faith was rewarded. And so you see how things go up and down for David. He's given these victories, but nothing is automatic. It doesn't automatically happen. It was surely all in reflection of his faith, even though the problem that started, really, the whole thing was because he got so cranky with these Ammonites because they'd insulted his servants whom he'd sent to them to commiserate over the death of the king. So, again, the real lesson is that not showing self-control does have big consequences, and God may or may not see fit to respond to your faith in getting you out of those consequences. But if you trace back these two huge invasions and huge battles that went on, why did it happen? It was because David got cranky, because his messengers, his servants, were not respected and were thrown out of the town by these Ammonites. So instead of learning his lesson from what happened with Nabal and Abigail, he doesn't. And as I say, there's huge consequences that flow from lack of self-control.